Début du dialogue 18.
Birmingham is the city that brought industrial steam power to the world. It's also Britain's largest city outside London. But Birmingham has often seemed eclipsed, not only by London, but also by regional rivals such as Manchester. The city has obviously not been doing well. Some 14% of the population is unemployed, which is the highest level in any big city in the country.
Birmingham has had ups and downs, and it's also had lots of bad luck. During the Second World War, bombs destroyed much of the old city centre, but by 1971, Birmingham had succeeded in becoming a sort of British Detroit, employing tens of thousands of car workers. But the car industry was poorly managed, and it eventually lost out in the competition with its rivals. This led to soaring unemployment in Birmingham and a long period of deindustrialisation.
The city did try to invent itself as a business and tourism hub. It built a convention centre, an opera house and a spectacular shopping mall. That made the city a more pleasant place to live.
But it didn't replace lost manufacturing jobs. Birmingham's private sector job numbers shrank by nearly 8% in the decade preceding the 2008 financial crisis. But in the UK as a whole, they grew by nearly a fifth. Of UK cities, only Stoke fared worse.
And isn't demography also a challenge for the city?
Yes, it is. Over 20% of Birmingham's population is under the age of 15. And though that may become an asset, it does put pressure on public services. And only 25% of the working age population have degree level qualifications, whereas in Manchester, 38% have such qualifications.
The real cause of Birmingham's second class status is probably indifferent management. The city has a shoddy public transport system. Unlike London and Manchester, the city didn't involve the surrounding region in the organisation of public transport. Today it can be quicker to get to London than around Birmingham's suburbs.
Another handicap is that Birmingham is bad at getting its message across. Many British people now seem to think that Manchester is Britain's second biggest city, and unlike Glasgow and Liverpool, the city has repeatedly failed to win competitions to become a European capital of culture.
So what would it require to revive Birmingham's fortunes?
It would require a sharp change in direction. The Prime Minister backed a proposal for an elected mayor for Birmingham, but at the referendum, which was organised last May, the population rejected the idea of an elected mayor.
A high-profile mayor could have pushed through radical reforms.
That's true, but there are some hopeful signs nevertheless. Birmingham has launched the UK's largest city centre enterprise zone. This involves developing infrastructure, new commercial and office space, boosting skills and enhancing broadband. The aim is to create 40,000 private sector jobs. The purpose is also to establish Birmingham as an alternative to London for international investors. Extending Birmingham Airport's runway will open up possible direct links to Asia and also help to achieve this.
Yes, that would help the region's Indian, Pakistani and Chinese communities harness more inward investment. What advantages will the enterprise zone offer to business?
The enterprise zone will offer companies business rates relief, speedier planning and faster broadband. There's also a new £125 million scheme to expand the metro rail network. And when the high-speed rail link opens in 2026, the airport will be just 40 minutes from London by train. Eventually, the airport's annual passenger flow could increase from today's 9 million to as many as 36 million.
What are the chances of the plan achieving its aims?
In 2011, Birmingham created more private sector jobs than any city outside London. In particular, there's been recent improvement in the automotive sector, which is enjoying a mini revival. Especially Indian-owned Jaguar Land Rover, whose exports to emerging markets have been soaring, and which is expanding its Castle Bromwich plant to meet the demand.
Fin du dialogue 18.